Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a Reese patch for rewind-worthy drops in Jungle and Old School DNB. What we're making here is not just a bass sound. We're building a performance moment, the kind of drop that lands, locks with the break, and makes people feel like, yeah, run that back. In this lesson, the goal is to design a Reese that behaves like a proper DJ tool. That means it needs to be tight, loopable, mixable, and easy to reshape for fills, switch-ups, and reload cues. We want the low end solid, the mid-range moving, and the arrangement clear enough that the drop has real impact. So let's approach this like a producer and a DJ at the same time. First, set your project tempo around 174 BPM. You can stay anywhere from 172 to 176 depending on the reference, but 174 is the classic starting point for this kind of jungle pressure. Then build your session around a 16-bar phrase. Don't think of this as just a loop. Think in sections. Think in setup, impact, variation, and reload. At this stage, it helps to lay out the skeleton of the tune before you get lost in sound design. Put down your breakbeat, a kick and snare foundation if you need it, a bass group, and a couple of simple effects returns. Keep the arrangement open enough that the drop can actually breathe. That's a really important point. If every bar is overloaded, the tune stops feeling like something a DJ wants to reload. Now for the bass itself. The core workflow here is to split the Reese into two separate layers, a sub-layer and mid-layer. This is the move that keeps the low end stable while letting the character and movement live higher up. Start with an instrument rack on a MIDI track and create two chains. On the sub-chain, use operator or wave-eatable with a sine wave or a very clean triangle if you want to touch more body. Keep it mono. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. The job of this layer is to hold the fundamental and stay locked around the root note, usually somewhere around 45 to 60 Hz depending on the key. If this layer is unstable, everything else becomes harder. Set a short attack, full sustain, and a release somewhere around 80 to 150 milliseconds. You can add a tiny bit of saturator, maybe 1 to 3 dB of drive, just enough so the sub speaks on smaller systems. But don't overcook it. The sub is the foundation, not the feature. On the mid-chain, this is where the Reese lives. Use wave-eatable, analog, or operator with two detuned saws or saw-like shapes. Detune them slightly, maybe plus or minus 7 to 15 cents, depending on how wide and angry you want it. If you're using wave-eatable, a light unison setting can help, but keep it controlled. 2 to 4 voices is usually enough. Then shape the tone with a low-pass or band-pass filter. For darker jungle vibes, a low-pass 24 can be great. You can also use a band-pass if you want a more hollow, vintage-style Reese. Keep resonance moderate. You want bite and tension, not a whistle that fights the snare. Here's the big idea. Separate the movement from the weight. The sub gives the drop authority. The mid layer gives it attitude. Now let's talk about motion, because the Reese lives or dies on movement. A classic jungle Reese is not static. It breathes. It shifts. It reacts to the phrase. In Ableton, use auto filter, parameter automation, or if you like, max for live modulation tools to make the bass evolve over time. One effective approach is to keep the filter more closed in the opening bars, then open it gradually as the drop develops. For example, bars 1 to 4 can stay tight and restrained. Bars 5 to 8 can open up a little. By bars 9 to 16, you can push the movement harder with sharper filter changes or more obvious rhythmic automation. The key is to make the motion feel intentional and rhythmic. Jungle bass often works best when the movement supports the break instead of competing with it. If the bass opens up on the offbeats or shifts at the end of a phrase, it can feel like it's dancing with the drums. That's the sweet spot. Next, write the bass line like it's answering the drums. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They hold notes too long or they fill every gap, and the result is a bass line that sounds heavy in solo but doesn't groove in context. For old school DNB, the bass should call and respond with the break. It should leave space for the snare crack and the chopped break details. Start with a simple 1 or 2 bar MIDI phrase. Use short notes, rests, and a few longer holds. Let the bass hit after the snare or against syncopated break accents. A good pattern might be to stab on beat 1, a response on the end of 2, then a longer note leading into the snare, followed by a rest. That kind of phrasing gives the tune character and stops it from sounding looped in a lazy way. You can also shape the notes themselves for more attitude. Short notes in the 1/8 to 1/4 range work great for punch. Held notes can sit for half a bar or a full bar when you want more pressure. And an occasional pickup note right before the snare can really make the phrase feel alive. If you want that classic hardware-style punch, add a little pitch envelope in the mid-layer. A very short drop, maybe 2 to 12 semitones over 10 to 30 milliseconds, can give the bass a sharper start. Keep it subtle. This is not a lead synth trick, it's just enough attack to make the note snap. Now let's process the sound. On the sub chain, keep things clean. Use EQ8 to remove any unnecessary highs, and use utility to keep it mono. If needed, add a light saturator just to help the sub translate on smaller speakers. On the mid chain, you can get more aggressive. Saturator or overdrive works well for adding harmonics. Drive it gently, around 2 to 6 dB. Then use EQ8 to high pass the mid layer somewhere around 70 to 100 Hz so it stays out of the sub's way. If the reese gets nasal or harsh, look around the 2.5 to 5 kHz region and tame it a little. If the bass feels too spiky, a very light glue compressor can smooth it out. Don't squash it. You just want a couple dB of gain reduction at most. And always check the sound with spectrum, because a bass can feel huge and still have weak fundamentals, or it can look fine and still be muddy in context. Mono checking is absolutely essential here. Use utility and collapse the bass to mono. If the reese disappears or gets weak, reduce the stereo whitening and simplify the phase-heavied effects. In club systems, mono compatibility is not optional. It's part of the job. Now build the drop around the bass, not the other way around. A rewind-worthy drop is usually strongest when the bass owns the first impression, and the drums support it rather than fight it. Start with the bass loop and the break together, then carve the drum so the bass has room to speak. If the break is busy, simplify the bass rhythm. If the bass is busy, simplify the break. That conversation between drums and bass is what makes jungle feel alive. For arrangement, think in clear phrases. An intro can tease the bass with filters closed. The drop can arrive fully, with the break and reese locked together. Then, around the 8-bar point, add a small variation. At 16 bars, switch it up again with a fill, a note change, or a chopped break moment. This matters because rewind energy comes from contrast. If everything stays the same, there's no reason for the listener to want the moment again. And that leads us to the rewind cue itself. A tune becomes reload-worthy when the ending of the phrase feels like it has something to say. You want a clear shape. Maybe a tiny pause before the return. Maybe a reverse tail. Maybe a sudden snare reverb throw that gets cut off. Maybe a bass stop. Then a final hit with extra weight. One really effective trick is to narrow the bass slightly just before the impact, then restore the width on the drop. That contrast can make the return feel bigger. You can also automate an auto filter sweep or throw a short delay onto a final stab. The point is to make the listener feel that the drop wasn't just heavy, but worth hearing again immediately. Once the patch is working, resample it. This is a very jungle thing to do, and it opens up a lot of creative options. Record the MIDI bass to audio, slice it into phrases, reverse tiny bits, chop tails, or layer a one-shot stab under a longer note. You can even duplicate the audio and create a filtered answer version or pitch one variation down an octave for a few bars. Resampling turns the bass into something you can perform with. That's huge. It means the sound stops being just a synth patch and starts becoming material you can edit like a break. A lot of the best jungle bass ideas happen after that point, because audio invites decisions that MIDI sometimes hides. Before you call it done, do a final mix check in context. Don't stay in solo mode too long. Listen to the bass with the break. Make sure the kick and sub are not masking each other. Make sure the snare still cuts. Make sure the mid reese is gritty and forward, but not fizzy. Keep the stereo width in the mid layer, not the sub, and leave enough headroom on the master, ideally around minus 6 dB or more before any final limiting. A few advanced coach notes before we wrap this up. First, always think DJ utility first. A reese can sound massive on its own and still fail inside a tune. What matters is how it behaves under the break. Second, lock the low end before you chase character. A stable root note is the foundation of everything else. Third, use contrast as your main weapon. Rewind moments usually come from a change in density, filter openness, or rhythmic space, not just from making it louder. And fourth, keep modulation intentional. If movement doesn't clearly help the groove, remove it. If you want to push this further, build a three-state bass rack with macro controls for intro tease, drop body, and reload hit. Or try rhythmic gating, so the bass only opens on selected 16 THs. You can also create call and answer octave movement or a dirty parallel layer with noise or bit reduction for extra edge on small speakers. For practice, set up a 16-bar sketch at 174 BPM. Use a chopped break, a mono sub, and a mid-reese. Add filter automation. Resample one bar into audio and edit it. Then ask yourself one simple question. Does the end of the phrase make you want to run it back? If the answer is yes, you're on the right path. So remember the workflow: split the sub and mid, keep the low end locked, shape movement with intention, phrase the bass against the drums, design the reload moment on purpose, and resample when the idea starts feeling musical. Do that, and your drop stops being just a bassline. It becomes a moment people want to rewind.